It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Monday, September 7th. I'm Patricia Naft. Montrose County has revoked the contract it had with a fixed base operator, a company that would house planes, sell fuel, and do plane repairs. Lloyd Arnold is the director of aviation for Montrose Airport. He says that the partners that formed to make the second FBO have been fighting, with a lawsuit being filed this week.
Montrose County thought it would be in the best interest of the citizens to terminate those contracts, given that we don't know where those disputes are going to end up.
Arnold says that he likes the idea of a second FBO and would be receptive to another one in the future. Travelers on the road might find some unexpected delays this week. On Highway 133 north of Paonia, the road will be completely closed Thursday for 5 hours from 11 a.m. until 4 p.m. The rockfall mitigation work will also close McClure Pass on Monday the 14th and Thursday the 17th of September. And drivers heading south over Red Mountain Pass will also want to get through before tomorrow. CDOT will be doing work on the rock face, closing down the road completely from 8:30 in the morning until 5 at night, with an hour break from 12:30 to 1:30. Those closures will happen Monday through Friday until early October. Voters in Cedar Ridge will decide on two ballot questions this November. As KVNF's Laura Pomisano reports, the town's Board of Trustees unanimously approved them last week.
The first question deals with Senate Bill 152. It's a decade-old state law that prevents local governments from providing internet services to residents unless the people overturn it. This fall, voters in Cedar Ridge will be asked if they want to opt out of the legislation. Town officials say they hope it passes because they see it as the first step to bringing high-speed internet to the area. Other communities in Delta County, such as Paonia and the city of Delta, will also decide on this question in November. Additionally, Cedar Ridge residents will vote on a half-cent sales tax increase. Kathleen Sickles, the town's administrator, says revenue from the tax increase would fund recreation infrastructure and improvements.
Well, the town of Cedar Ridge has been approached many times by a lot of citizens that would like additional trails. We now have a group that's interested in pickleball. We have a need for basketball courts. There's a lot of recreational amenities that a lot of people have requested.
Sickles says the town doesn't have money for these projects. However, it's projected the sales tax increase could generate an additional $80,000 a year for recreation.
There are a number of grants that are out there, but we have been unable to even apply because we haven't had the match.
Earlier this year, Cedar Ridge sent out a healthy living survey to more than 1,200 of its utility customers.
We had 330 respondents to the survey. Pedestrian, trail, sidewalks, and recreation programs basically garner 57% support for 0.5% sales tax to support those additional projects or facilities.
Delta County will mail ballots the week of October 12th. Election day is November 3rd. For KVNF, I'm Laura Pomisano.
Taxes and internet won't be the only things on this November's ballot. Mill levy increases are being sought for a variety of reasons. Mill levies affect property taxes based on how much the property is worth. KVNF's Jake Ryan has more.
The Lake City School District is asking for almost $6 million to build a gymnasium. This is District Superintendent Leslie Nichols.
We are hoping to build a gymnasium. We're the only school district in the state of Colorado without a gymnasium, and feel like this is a missing classroom in our district that we would like to address.
And just because they don't have gymnasium doesn't mean they don't have gym class.
Of course, outside is a wonderful PE classroom as well, but when you're in school in Lake City and 6 out of the 9 months that you're in school are pretty weather challenged, I guess, having an indoor gym on our campus attached to our existing building is something that we would really like to realize as a district.
To the northwest, the Montrose Library District is also looking for a mill levy increase. Paul Palladino is the director of the Montrose Regional Library District. When I called him up, he was actually driving to pick up the bookmobile that needed repairs. He says that the library district, like everyone else, took a hit from the recession.
Property tax values dropped, so everybody's property taxes dropped, but that means our revenue dropped also by a little over 20%.
They had to cut over $400,000 from their budget.
We cut our hours, our materials, our services, but we've been supplementing that with about 9% of our budget now comes out of reserves. Those reserves are going to end, so the board has decided to ask the people what kind of library service they want.
This November, the Library District, which covers almost the entire county, will ask voters for a mill levy increase to bring in about $400,000. Palladino says that for the average homeowner, it will mean an extra $10 a year. He's cautiously optimistic that the voters will approve the increase. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
It's almost harvest time, and this year, researchers at Colorado State University will be bringing in a pretty novel crop, industrial hemp. Hemp is a member of the cannabis family, but it's lacking in psychoactive properties. Instead, it's grown more for fiber and oil, but as KUNC and Harvest Public Media's Luke Runyon reports, very little research has been done on the plant.
So that's it, what's poking out above the corn?
Exactly.
CSU plant geneticist John McKay walks toward a wall of corn at a research farm north of Fort Collins. Standing on my tippy toes, I can see dark green shoots above the yellow tassels. The cornfield border is meant to keep curious hemp enthusiasts from snooping around and disrupting the experiments inside.
Follow me. It opens up a little bit after the first couple rows.
Ryan Campbell is a graduate student working with McKay. We weave through the corn stalks until it opens up. He's got a huge smile on his face as he explains what's happening inside the cornfield.
My background has been in alternative oil seeds, so this is kind of like the king of alternative oil seed crops. So it's been an exciting summer for me personally, just to get to work with something that hasn't been, you know, done to death like corn.
We walk into the half acre of hemp plants, some standing 10 to 12 feet tall. Others are short and bushy, laden with seeds. The crop is part of a trial to see what varieties grow best in Colorado.
This is one of our Chinese fiber varieties that still is yet to flower, really.
It is so tall.
Yeah, and so when you're growing a fiber variety, you want it to go as long as possible before flowering, so you get all this stock biomass, which is where all the fibers come from. And then
those stalks look fairly thick.
Yeah, too. Yeah. I mean, down here you can see some of them are much thicker than a thumb.
The hemp's brought out a surprising number of bees and other pollinators, Campbell says. As we stand under the towering stalks, bees hover overhead, moving from plant to plant.
Hemp does create a prolific amount of pollen, so that wasn't totally shocking that the pollinators would like it, but there was even more than in all of our other crops around here. So,
hemp is enjoying a resurgence in popularity. The once banned crop is popping up on small plots of land across the country. Laws have been loosened in the last year to allow experiments like this one. Hemp-based foods have taken off. Same with body care products that use the plant's oil. Some of its lesser-known compounds could be used as medicine. But there's little scientific research published about hemp because of decades of prohibition, which is why CSU got involved, John McKay says.
This has been, you know, just in terms of how to plant it, you know, what to expect and when. It's been a fairly seat-of-the-pants operation as opposed to, you know, our other crops we've been doing for years.
McKay says this experiment, which began for the first time earlier this summer, has brought a certain amount of chaos to the usually quiet plant science department at CSU. McKay has endured hours of meetings with university lawyers, and the research farm has turned away a handful of nosy onlookers wanting a close-up look at hemp.
We've tried to keep people out of all of our experiments just because they're going to knock seeds off of plants and mess with, you know, interfere with the data. This experiment, people are more interested than anything else I've done.
As experiments like this take off and mature and the results are rolled out to farmers, the end result could be a different agricultural landscape in Colorado, with some of those amber waves of grain turning emerald green. For KUNC, I'm Luke Runyon.
For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.